Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents The Highlander's Dilemma, a medieval Scottish romance story by Amelia Ferguson, narrated by Lucy Rayner. Prologue.
Leona! Wait!
Laughing, Leona turned to Con in the hallway, her long golden hair swinging over one shoulder with her sudden change in motion.
I beat ye!
She grinned at him, blue eyes slanting in merriment.
Why must I wait?
Oh, Leona!
Con protested. He shook his head, looking ruefully after her as she ran, laughing, up the hallway and burst into the solar. Con followed her into the room. At 16, he was a speedy runner. He still did not seem as fast as her.
I'll beat him. I will.
Leona McConaughey!
A stern voice shattered her musing.
Mother!
Leona stopped in her headlong rush, blue eyes round with surprise. Alina McConaughey, seer and lady of the castle, compressed her lips into a thin line, hiding a smile.
You were looking for something? I was hiding,
Leona protested.
From Con?
Alina smiled.
Oh.
Well,
perhaps now you're here, hiding.
She paused to hide a smile.
You can tell me what you would like to wear for the upcoming winter gathering.
Leona flushed, her chiselled face with its high cheekbones reddening with pleasure.
Yes, I'd forgotten.
Well then,
Alina said, voice teasing.
Since it's such a trivial event that you forgot, I suppose you don't have any idea what to wear then.
Leona stamped her foot.
Oh, Mother!
She said, exasperated.
Stop teasing! You know I have an idea of what I would like to wear for the gathering.
I do.
Alina smiled, a proper smile this time.
And I hope we have something that will suit your needs.
Oh, Mother!
Leona smiled, giving her tall, slender mother an affectionate hug.
You spoil me.
Maybe, Alina admitted. But it's only spoiling if you're spoiled. And you, my dear, are quite lovely. Inside and out. Come on, choose something.
She waved a hand at the chests of costly fabric that lined the walls and stepped back to let Leona look through them. Leona bent over the chests, perusing the piles of brightly coloured, costly fabrics packed inside them. She smiled as she ran a finger over costly velvets, the colours forest green or autumnal gold or woodland brown. She knew exactly what she wanted. She was sure these chests, with their precious cargo, sometimes from lands so far away it took years to reach this country, would contain it.
There!
She felt her cheeks lift in a delighted smile to have seen it. The perfect dark blue. She went to it and lifted it from the chest, feeling the smooth fabric, cold like water, under her long index finger. She held it up, a questioning look on her face.
This, Mother, please?
Alina smiled. Again, her grave, solemn face lit up in a smile.
I did think it might be that.
Yes,
of course.
Oh, Mother!
Leona ran to her, flushed and happy. Impulsively, she embraced her, reaching up to kiss that cool porcelain cheek that smelled, as always, of rosewood and some darker scent. Iris, perhaps, or myrrh, that scented her mother. Alina smiled.
It looks beautiful, she said gently.
Oh, Mother!
Leona said again.
She clasped the fabric to her chest, feeling a little frisson of delight as it slid in oiled folds through her fingers. She was excited. The gathering was the biggest event of the entire year. Though Dunkeld Castle, her home, was the venue of many balls and parties all year, the single most important one was the gathering. All her kin would be there, and all the local gentry too. Here, she would have a chance not only to see her cousin Joanna and her baby, but the local eligible lords. She was 16, and it was not too soon for her to be thinking about marriage. Not at once, of course, but gatherings were the place where arrangements were made and promises given. They were a place to find partners, to shine in the dances, and to flirt and be merry and have fun. Leona, loving dancing and happiness, was the centre of most parties, and she loved them. "Who will you meet here, I wonder?" Alina said, as if she'd heard her speak her thoughts aloud. Leona flushed.
"It doesn't matter, Mother," she said quickly. "I'll marry Con."
It was what Aunt Chrissy, Con's mother, had decided. Not really Leona's aunt. She and Con were not truly cousins, though they had been raised together from birth. They were the same age and had grown up together. They had grown up knowing that they would wed. Alina laughed.
"I know you always say that."
Leona scowled.
"I mean it, Mother."
Then she bit her lip, recalling who her mother was. The seer of Lochlin first, now the seer of Dunkeld. She did not speak lightly.
"Why do you ask?"
Alina frowned. She put her hand to her forehead, swaying a little where she stood. Like a column of ivory clad in dark velvet, she had become even paler and seemed somehow more delicate.
"Mother?"
Leona asked.
"I see something complicated, my daughter," she said gently. "I do not know what it is I see, but you'll travel many waters, and there are many paths ahead before you come back."
Leona felt her heart clench with fear.
"Mother?"
Her mother swayed, and then her black eyes focused once again on her daughter. She blinked, then she smiled.
"Sorry, Leona," she said gently.
"I was miles away. Should we find Amabel and see if she can help cut this fair gown?"
Leona looked at her hands, heart thudding in her chest.
"Yes, Mother,"
she said gravely. She felt as if a fist of ice had clutched her heart. She wanted to question her mother, ask her what she saw. However, she did not wish to question the sight. Moreover, she knew that her mother would likely not recall what she had said. It was often so with the sight. She had told her. Leona had the duty now to remember the words and, if they could be made sense of, to seek the sense behind them.
"A future with many paths, many waters to be travelled before she came back."
Still shivering, holding the fabric to her chest, she followed her tall, regal mother from the room. She would try and find answers. How many ways could she understand a future of many paths? She sighed. It would all become clear in time. Chapter 1. A Messenger from Afar. Leona looked across the table at Con, who grinned at her. She smiled, feeling soft warmth flow through her body as he looked at her.
"He's so handsome."
At 19, Leona understood how she felt for Con. She was attracted to him. He was tall, with reddish hair and deep brown eyes, a wide smile and a lean, high-cheekboned face. He grinned at her, seeing her attempt to hide her smile. Leona looked sharply away, focusing on her plate, swimming as it was with trout and gravy. It was the summer, and her father had decided it was the perfect time for a celebratory dinner to usher in the season. She looked out the window with the rare sunshine, gilding the courtyard beyond the windows. The atmosphere was relaxed and peaceful, a perfect summer's afternoon.
Leona?
Hmm?
She asked, looking at Con with a desperate attempt at a straight face.
Could you pass the gravy, please?
She smiled.
Of course, Con.
She lifted the tureen and passed it across. They were in the solar. The meal, a relaxed, informal one, with the family all there, but no other guests. Aunt Chrissy, Con's mother, was far down the table, her blonde curls drawn back off her forehead to save them from the heat and perspiration which dampened all foreheads. Con passed back the gravy, but Leona was looking the other way, distracted by Amis, her cousin, who was having a minor dispute with Con's younger brother.
Alf, I told you, I want to play ball and hoop. We always play in the summer.
We should take a ride to the woods, Alf declared.
At 17, he was bold and convinced the world held dangers for all except him.
I'm bumping to a bear or a boar.
Uncle Blaine, Con's father, asked mildly.
Oh, Uncle!
Amis, now 16 and pretty as a picture, protested impatiently.
What?
Blaine asked, looking affronted.
We won't be scared. The boars and bears won't come if we take dogs,
Alf explained. Blaine grinned.
That's why I reminded you, so's you'd take Brindle with you.
Brindle was a brindled boarhound, the height of Leona's waist, a formidable enemy and a wonderful friend.
We'll take Brindle,
Amis promised.
Oh, but you didn't want to go,
Con joked, making Amis blink, then wail in protest.
Con, no!
Got you,
Alf grinned. He smiled at Con, who raised a brow, tranquil. Leona, watching the exchange, smiled warmly at Con. He was so affable, so nice to everyone. No one could find anything to dislike in Con. He was kind and open-hearted with all. But he likes me best. Leona smiled to herself. She and Con had been promised from birth, a fact that had been plain for both of them from as soon as they understood the words. A bond of friendship bound Alina and Chrissy. Aunt Amabel had explained how Alina had been a mother to Chrissy, though only 7 years separated them in age. When they had borne children within a day of each other, it had seemed perfect that the two should wed. Therefore, Leona and Con had grown up in the knowledge that they were each other's intended partner. Her reverie was interrupted by her uncle Broderick, her father's brother. He stretched and cleared his throat where he sat beside auburn-haired Aunt Amabel.
Speaking of horses, does anyone want to come down to the stables?
Why?
Alf asked blankly. Brodger, Broderick's son, looked suddenly elated.
Father, you mean the new Destrius?
Are arrived from France, yes.
Hooray!
He whooped. Leona smiled indulgently. The Destriers were Broderick's new horses. He had ordered one for himself and one for his son Brodger. Horses bred for knights, trained for war, they were at once fearsome allies on the battlefield and indomitable companions, to say nothing of being a sign of immense wealth and status. Though that was not, Leona thought, why Brodger had wanted one. His preoccupation with the idea of becoming a knight was strong. At 20 years old, with much training already behind him, he could have done it, had he not felt the pressure of ruling already. As the only son of Broderick, Dunkeld would be his one day. He could not go off on ventures simply for fun. It was nice to see him excited about something for once.
"Should we go down?"
Amabel asked, brow raised.
"Oh, Mother, yes, can we?"
Brodgar asked.
"I want to come too,"
Amice declared instantly. 16, and still hovering on the brink of girlishness and womanhood, Amice was a delight to them all. Amabel smiled at her fondly.
"Of course you shall."
"And Elf?"
"Let's all go,"
Duncan, Leona's father, suggested. Leona looked up with mild protest.
"Oh, Father, we're only halfway through dinner," she said.
"She is right, husband,"
Alina observed mildly.
"You know how bad it is for the digestion."
Duncan smiled.
"You're right, sweetheart.
Well then, whoever wants to come and see the horses so badly that they don't mind a bout of indigestion can come down with Broderick and me. The rest can see them later. Probably better not to crowd the poor things in any case,"
he added, thinking.
"Indeed,"
Broderick replied.
"Let's go!"
Brodgar, ruggedly handsome and red-haired, was already leaping from his place at the table, making Aunt Chrissy giggle.
"You are excited, son! It makes me want to see what all this is about."
Blaine cast a caring glance at her.
"Well, no one said we couldn't go along."
"Quite so,"
Chrissy agreed, standing and pushing in her chair.
"If you think two more won't scare them, Broderick."
"I'm sure it won't,"
Broderick said mildly. He looked inquiringly at Alina and Leona, who were still seated.
"We're staying here, Broderick," Alina said peaceably.
"No reason to expose the poor creatures to so many at once."
"True, true."
He smiled.
"Well then, are we off?"
"Yes!"
Brodgar and Alf yelled, and then giggled helplessly. Broderick raised a brow.
"Excuse me, ladies,"
he said gallantly to Alina and Leona. Amabel had stood, giving her sister a wry glance.
"If I don't go, they'll never stop going on about the horses. At least if I see them for myself, I'll save hours of being driven quietly mad."
Alina laughed. Broderick pulled a hurt face, and they all laughed together. The solar was empty, save for Alina, Leona, and Con. They all looked at each other and smiled.
"The sensible ones,"
Alina observed mildly. They laughed.
"I chose the best place to stay,"
Con said, his eyes on Leona, who flushed red and looked at her plate. His voice flowed over her like warm syrup, easing her heart. She loved hearing him talk, and he said such lovely things.
"Leona?"
Leona looked up to see her mother looking at her, grave and composed as always. Her black hair, touched at one temple with strands of silver, was bound off her forehead with a band of silver thread. The look in her eyes was relaxed and tranquil, yet Leona felt as if she was asking her something.
"What, Mother?"
she asked. "I was just wondering if you had any plans for Lammastide," Alina said mildly. Leona frowned. Lammas, celebrated in midsummer, or thereabouts, was within 2 months' time.
"Why is Mother asking that now?" "Not yet, Mother,"
she replied carefully. "Oh," her mother said mildly.
"Just wondering."
Leona frowned. Her mother had foreseen something. She was sure of it. She felt a sense of foreboding, and suddenly in her mind she was 16 again, with her mother foreseeing something in her future.
"You'll travel many waters, and there are many paths ahead."
She shuddered, wishing that her mother was not quite as gifted as she was. She reached across the table for the platter of bannocks and took one, distracting herself by crumbling off a piece to dip into the leftover gravy. At that moment, a guard came into the hall.
"Lady Alina,"
he said, addressing her gravely,
"begging your pardon for a disturbing, but there's a man. Said he wanted to speak with you and your sister, my lady. Alone."
"Oh?" Alina raised a dark, sculpted brow. "Well, let him come in. Anything he could say to me, he can say in front of these young people just as well."
He looked uncomfortable, but stepped aside. A tall, thin man with a grey face and grey hair came in behind him.
"My lady,"
the guard announced, still looking uncomfortable.
"I present Monseigneur Montaigne. He has come as an envoy from your uncle, or so he said."
"Show him in,"
Alina said, standing. With her back straight, black velvet skirts hanging to the floor, she was at her most commanding. Leona looked at her, and then studied the man who entered. He was perhaps 10 years her father's senior, with grey hair and a lined, lean face. His eyes were brown, heavy-lidded like her mother's own, evidence of her heritage. He had a line down one cheek that could have been a scar left from a sword.
"Monseigneur,"
Alina said gravely,
"welcome. Please take a seat by the fire. We have little repast to offer a traveller, some cakes and ale."
"Thank you, my lady,"
he said gravely. He spoke French, as Alina had. Leona strained to listen. Her mother and aunt had taught her something of the tongue. Their own father was French, and they felt it would be advantageous for her to learn it. But her command was not fluent.
"No,"
Alina said, as she took a seat before him, gesturing for Leona and Con to join them in the high-backed wooden settee by the fire.
"Tell me your news."
"My lady,"
he said gravely,
"it is not good. Forgive me, but I bring the news that your father has died."
Alina put her hand on her heart, her face blank, eyes huge.
"Beg pardon, Monseigneur, but when did it happen?"
"Last month, in the middle of the season. Forgive me, madam. My heartfelt condolences."
Alina swallowed, shaking her head.
"I'm sorry, Monseigneur, but it is a shock. He was in good health."
"He was, my lady. It was very sudden. He died of distress of the chest,"
he said, placing his hand over his heart, a fist to indicate some pain there. Alina shook her head.
"I'm sorry," she said again. "This is all quite sudden."
Her voice was small and tight, and Leona reached out to put her hand over Alina's. She held it, her fingers cold and lifeless.
"Forgive me,"
the envoy said again. His lean face looked distressed.
"You are consoled by your family, I think,"
he said, indicating Con and Leona, who sat with her. Con was frowning gravely, while Leona was bending toward her mother in a concerned way, hands clasped.
"Con's not my son," Alina said lightly. "Sorry, it doesn't matter. You came with a message?"
she asked, raising her brow. Leona and Con looked at each other, concern for Alina on both their faces. Then they turned to her.
I did,
the messenger said, drawing Leona's gaze to him.
My lady, your uncle, Lord Dumas, the Count of Annecy, following your father's passing, he requested that you come to France.
For the funeral rites? Alina asked softly.
No, my lady. To stay.
To stay? Alina stared at him.
He said... He mentioned a daughter. Lady Leona?
Leona felt her heart drop through the floor. He'd mentioned her. Why? Alina looked at her. She cleared her throat.
I am Leona McConaughey. He mentioned me?
Yes,
the messenger said, licking dry lips.
He mentioned that he wished that if you could not go to Annecy, perhaps your daughter would come.
Leona stared at him. She looked at Con. Con went pale.
Leona?
He asked in a small voice.
Mother?
Leona said, turning to Alina. Her mother was grey-faced and silent.
My child,
she said softly.
I... Might you excuse us, Monseigneur Montaigne? I have need to consult with my family alone.
Of course, madam,
he said gravely.
I will have rooms made up for you, sir,
Alina said in the same quiet voice of earlier.
You are welcome to remain with us as long as you would wish.
Thank you, my lady,
he replied.
I will remain for as long as you need to decide, though I would wish to be gone within the month.
He sounded hopeful. Alina laughed, albeit a light, detached sound.
Of course, sir. I am not so hampered in my decisions as to need so long.
Leona looked at her mother, feeling her heart sink through the floor. Her mother was not well. She was in shock and needed to rest. She took her hand.
Come, mother,
she said softly.
Let's go upstairs.
Alina blinked at her as if she had only just seen her.
Yes, daughter,
she nodded. Together, with Con a solid presence behind them, they walked up the stairs to the bedchambers.
Con,
Alina said distantly,
will you fetch my sister? She needs to know.
Of course, aunt,
Con said, giving her a bow. He turned and went back down the stairs, leaving Leona and Alina alone.
Come, mother,
Leona said. She led her to her own bedchamber, guided her to sit on the crisp white linen covering the bed. She sat opposite on the stool before the mirror and took her hands.
Mother, I'm so sorry.
No, don't be, Alina said distantly. It was many years since I saw my father. We were not close.
Still, it is a shock to you,
Leona insisted.
You must not expect it not to be.
Alina smiled at her daughter, black eyes touched with warmth.
Oh, daughter,
she smiled. You have wisdom, a brave, kind wisdom. It will serve you well in time ahead.
Oh, mother,
Leona said. She squeezed her cold, slender fingers. She had never been that close to her mother, always thinking her rather unworldly and difficult to reach. She and Joanna, her cousin, Amabel's daughter, should have been born reversed, she often thought. Joanna, wise and serene, could have been Alina's daughter, while she herself took more after Amabel.
daughter,
Alina said softly. She chafed her fingers gently with her own long, slim ones. They said...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?